Blog Talk Radio.
The year, 1888. The place, London's East End. Dead and mutilated bodies are popping up all over, from Stamford to Whitechapel. Jack the Ripper is leaving his mark, and the city's on edge. Yvonne Mason is back with a tale of murder and millinery. The Rhodes Hat Factory is booming while the body count rises. Why now? How are these hats connected? Has the Hatter gone mad? Mad Hatter, Yvonne Mason. Available now on Amazon.com.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It's Saturday night. It's Off the Chain. This is your host, Yvonne Mason, and I don't know what happened to my guest, author Ambie Keller. Hopefully, she will call in shortly. If not, we may cut this show short, or we just may have an open mic night if some of you guys want to call in. That was a piece of shameless promotion, my book, The Mad Hatter, and the gentleman that did that ad, his name's Christopher Dunham, and he is a wonderful voiceover guy. I don't know what I would do without him. I'm going to tell you, the man is magnificent. He also has a show on Friday night called Freak Show Friday Night, so you need to check him out. It has been a very interesting week for me. I don't know that how many of y'all know, but the show's well over 10,000 listeners. And we're heard in places like Hungary and Norway and Malaysia, Vietnam, Bulgaria, the Ukraine, Finland, Sweden, Korea, Ecuador, Tunisia, the Netherlands, the Russian Federation, Singapore, the good old USA, Ireland, Germany, Egypt, the UK, Indonesia, Australia, Canada, New Zealand, Brazil, South Africa, India, Portugal, Croatia, Taiwan, Pakistan, Saudi Arabia, Nigeria, and the Netherlands, which is absolutely amazing considering this time last year this show was just a dream. We are over 10,000 listeners in all of those countries, and you would not believe our biggest listening base is out of Australia. Cannot believe it. They are 66% of the listeners just on this show alone. And what I find interesting is the demographic of the listeners is young people. Between 24 and 34. So that's amazing within itself. Also, I have some new designs out under Yvonne Sewell. They're on Vita.com, and they are clothing designs. They're on tote bags, and they are on shawls. They're on wraps. They're on pillows. Go over and check them out. I have decided to use my married name for that line of clothing to keep it separate from the show and from my books. Also, if you go on ViewBug under Yvonne Mason, you will photos of mine that are for sale. So check all that out. On Monday night, we were supposed to have the Teske brothers out of Australia, but it would cause them to have to go and rob Fort Knox to call in for a show. So my friend Christopher Plain and I are going to do a show playing nothing but the Teske brothers' music and talking about them. They are a band out of Australia that if I didn't know better, I would swear that they were from the downtown Bourbon Street area of New Orleans. This band is absolutely amazing. They sing blues and soul, and they will just rock your world. I can't wait to play their music for you and introduce you to them on Monday night. So with that being said, since my author didn't call in. Her name's Ambie Keller. I don't know what happened. That's not like her. I'm just going to talk to you a little bit about me because I can. It's my show. Why not? I want to read you something. People are always asking me why I do what I do and how I do what I do and the reason that I do what I do. And I was on a radio show in Cocoa the other day, and the girl that is co-host of the show read this to me. And it's not only good in the business that I'm in, but it's also good in personal business and in your personal life. Your smile is your logo. Your personality is your business card. How you leave others feeling after having an experience with you becomes your trademark. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that is very, very true. Our smile is our logo. Everyone that we see, if we smile at them, we are showing them our logo. Our personality is our business card. When we're out and about in the real world and we treat someone rude and crude and ill-mannered and sociably unacceptable, we're leaving our business card. When we treat others with intolerance and with hate and with preconceived ideas of the fact that they are supposed to think the way we think, that's our business card. When we don't allow others to voice their opinion, that's our business card. And what it says about us as human beings is not very nice when we do that. We all don't have the same opinions. We all don't vote the same way. We all don't have the same moral compass. We all don't have the same thought process. And that's what makes us great. It's what makes us as Americans great. Because we are allowed those freedoms, and with those freedoms come responsibility, and part of the responsibility is not being stupid when you're around someone who doesn't think like you. I have many friends across the globe, and I don't think like any of them. We may have similar thoughts and similar opinions, but none of us think the same. But does that denigrate them or discount them as a person or discount them as an individual? No, it does not. What it does is it helps me to expand my mind and to think things differently. Even though I might not agree with them, I'm willing to listen. Because what happens when I listen, it helps me to be more knowledgeable. It helps me to be able to carry on an intelligent conversation without egg on my face. So when someone thinks different from you and when someone voices a different opinion from you, don't discount that person. Don't tell them they're stupid. Don't tell them they're narrow-minded. Don't tell them that your opinion is the most knowledgeable or you're the smarter one, because in the end that kind of makes you look foolish. We all live in this world, and we all are worthy, and we all contribute to society. So remember that. Our nation, sadly, has become a nation of, I don't know, two-year-old children. And it's sad, because you have grown people pitching what I call a hissy fit when someone doesn't think the way they think, or someone doesn't take their opinion as gospel. Well, it's an opinion, for crying out loud. An opinion is like everything else. Everybody's got one. And it doesn't mean that their opinion is right or wrong. It's their opinion. Doesn't mean your opinion is right or wrong. It's your opinion. That's why it's called an opinion. It's an individual thought process that we as individuals are allowed to think without retribution. So when someone comes up to you and says, love trumps hate, but then they're intolerant of what you're thinking, that's kind of, in my mind, not only is it an oxymoron, but it's hypocritical. Because it tells me that they're not really intolerant. They're only tolerant if you agree with them. It's time for us to put stupidity aside. Stupidity you can buy and sell, like cupcakes. It's time to put it aside. Doesn't matter who won, who lost, we are where we are. And if we want to grow as a nation and don't want to fall down on our face like two-year-olds and kick and scream and go to our safe places and get our blankets and our binkies and suck our thumbs and crawl up in the fetal position, if we do that, we're going to lose our nation. It's very important that we stand strong together, because guess what, ladies and gentlemen, the world is looking at us. and they see us, and they laugh at us. And personally, I don't like to be laughed at. And for women especially to get up and make some of the statements they've made and to behave in some of the ways they behave makes me ashamed of my gender. It really makes me ashamed of my gender. I was talking to a friend of mine who is a male, and I said, the women that are doing some of the stupid things they're doing, it's going to set us back 250 years. I said, because I am a woman, I am powerful, I am successful, and I'm very happy respecting men. Because when I respect men, not only do I have more power, but they respect me in kind. And they treat me with that kind of respect. So for women to say they don't want to be known for their body parts, but then they go and they put body parts on their body and they talk about bodily functions that are only conducive to women and then scream, don't know me for my body part. I want to shake them till their teeth rattles. And you can't have it both ways, ladies. You either are known for your body parts or you're not. And if you don't want to be known as a woman, then what do you want to be known as, a non-entity? I mean, that's kind of stupid. We are human beings. We are female. Get over it. Grow up. Respect yourself. These women that are walking around with body parts on their bodies and talking about their bloody sheets, and they're not respecting themselves. So how in the hell do you expect a man to respect you? I certainly don't respect you. I'm ashamed of you. How do you expect to get places in the business world when you behave that way? Women are held to a higher standard. I'm sorry, that's just the way it is. We just are. There's an old adage that the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. And believe you me, it does. And the world looks to us, the women of the world look to us, American women, as the shining example of the way that women should behave. And yes, I know it's a double standard. Get over it. It is a double standard. Always has been, always will be. But when women want to get down in the gutter with men and want to behave the way that men do, that's not saying that they have a whole lot of respect for themselves. So how do they expect a man to respect them? I certainly don't. I'm ashamed of them. If women really want to talk about women's rights, why don't you go to places where women's rights are subjected to death, to stonings, to beatings, to burnings, to being mutilated? Why don't you go to Saudi Arabia, to Iran, to Iraq, to South Africa? Why don't you go find the 300 girls that Boko Haram has stolen? If you really legitimately worry about women's rights, prancing around on the street with vaginas over your head, that says nothing. It just says that you don't have sense enough to get in out of the rain. And that's sad. So, ladies, if you really want to be respected, if you really want to be successful, and if you really want to be powerful, wrap your gender around you and hold on to it and be proud of being a woman. So there's an old song by Helen Reddy called I Am Woman, Hear Me Roar. And if you go back and listen to that song, she talks about being able to not only make the bacon, but she can fry it up in a pan while she's changing a diaper and talking on the phone and doing all these things that women can do that men can't. Because they don't know how to multitask. We do. We are more powerful than any man. But we have to use it in the right way. So that's my soapbox. I'm going to get off of it and move on. On On Wednesday night, I'm going to have a family with me that is finally speaking out. Their sibling, Deborah Lowe, was killed by Gerard Schaefer in 1972, in February of 1972. He was Florida's first serial killer, and he killed between 9 and 35 women. What this man did to these women is unconscionable. And then he wrote about it. And then he played mind games with the police officers and the prosecuting attorney and anybody else involved. On Wednesday night, this family is going to come and tell their story as to how this came about in their life and the toll that it has taken on them. If you haven't picked up Silent Scream, pick it up, because for the fourth time, I am working with a production company to make this story come alive. Investigation Discovery has a production company called Siren Productions, and they have contacted me to talk about Schaefer because they do a show called Killers Who Lead Double Lives. And they're taking it from this perspective of his marriage and the double life that he led with his marriage and with people around him, and then he would go off and kill these girls. So pick up now. I'm going to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, Silent Scream is not for the faint of heart. It is not sanitized. It is brutal. It is honest, and it will make you sick to your stomach because I do not believe in sanitizing evil. If you want to know what school these girls went to or who their boyfriends were or what color they liked or whether or not they were a cheerleader, then you do not want to read this book because that is not the story. The story is what Schaefer did to these young women and destroyed their families who were also victims and destroyed their friends who were also victims when he took these lives because he was selfish and evil. So pick up the book and get ready for Wednesday night. Neil, I have some more books out there. I know. What can I say? It's my show. The first book that I ever wrote was about my brother. And my brother is retarded. And he wasn't supposed to be here, but he is. And not only is he here, but he's successful. And the name of the book is Dreamcatcher Failure Was Never an Option. And the reason that I titled it Dreamcatcher Failure Was Never an Option is because my brother Stan never believed in failing. If he wanted something, he set about doing it even when the world told him he couldn't. He believed in himself when the world said he couldn't. He did things that the world said he couldn't. He went to school when the world said he couldn't. He graduated from high school when the world said he couldn't. He went to work when the world said he couldn't. So what my brother did is he taught me a whole lot more than I could teach him. He taught me that everything is possible and all is highly probable. And he taught me that if I wanted something bad enough, all I had to do was go get it. But it took me a long time to learn that because people had told me that I couldn't. I couldn't write. I couldn't play my clarinet. I couldn't do anything. I wasn't smart enough. I wasn't smart enough in school, wasn't smart enough to go to college, I wasn't smart enough to do anything. And I believed them for a long time. Until I got to thinking about my brother and thinking that it didn't matter if people told him he couldn't, he'd just say, watch this, and he did it. So I wrote Dreamcatcher, Failure Was Never an Option to Leave Something Behind for the generations to come, for the grandchildren and the children and the great-grandchildren, because I knew once we were all gone that nobody would remember Stanley. He would be fleeting. People would forget him. People would forget the lessons that he taught us all. That book took me 34 years to publish because, once again, I got rejected by publishing house after publishing house after publishing house. And I thought, why should this happen? I don't have to be rejected anymore. I moved to South Florida, and I took care of it myself. I became an independent author, and I never looked back. My mother asked my brother how he felt about his name and face and his story being out in the public, and this man is wise beyond his years. He said, I'm glad, because people now will know how I feel. Because you see, ladies and gentlemen, we think we have it rough when someone disagrees with us, or someone makes fun of us, or someone bullies us, or someone does this or that to us. Imagine you're challenged. Not only are you stand the chance of being bullied, but you stand the chance of rejection because you're different. And he got bullied. He got rejected. He got made fun of. But he went on, and he did, and he became successful. He taught me many, many lessons, more than I would ever teach him. So after I published Dreamcatcher, I did Tangled Minds. And Tangled Minds has been compared to John Steinbeck's Mice and Men. And that book was close to home. It hit close to home because it talks about a young girl who makes very bad decisions. And in the course of making those bad decisions, the unintended consequences of those bad decisions go on for generations. And she starts making these bad decisions at a very young age. But it's like a friend of mine said when she did the review. She said, but the book also shows hope. And that's pretty much what life is about. We always have hope. I recommend that book for every teenage boy and girl in the country. Because if it keeps one girl or one boy from making a bad decision and the unintended consequences of that decision, then that book is very well worth what it took to write it. After I did Tangled Minds, I did Silent Scream. That was a very painful book to write because what Schaefer did to those girls should never happen to anybody. And some of those girls, ladies and gentlemen, will never be found. And the parents of these children have died without being able to say goodbye to their children. That should never happen. While I was writing Silent Scream, I wrote Brilliant Insanity. And Brilliant Insanity is a psychological murder mystery. It's not a murder mystery because you know who the murderer is, but it's a psychological thriller in the mind of a serial killer. And as with all serial killers, they justify their actions. They're narcissistic sociopaths. They justify their actions by blaming other people. And that's exactly what Schaefer did when he killed the girl. So in Brilliant Insanity, the serial killer justifies what he did. And in justifying what he did, it made it all right. The story is told in first person by the killer, which is interesting because you don't usually see that happen. And you get into that killer's mind and in his psychic. And he kind of stays with you after he's long gone. After Brilliant Insanity came The Last Rites. The Last Rites is another true crime about a young woman who, because of bad decisions in her life, there were unintended consequences. And in her case, the unintended consequence was she was picked up on US 1 here in Florida. She was taken to a remote location. She was raped and she was executed. And then she was left there and found a week later as a Jane Doe. Again, she left behind family who was victims. She was finally identified as Pauline Mettler. Some of the family that lived here would not claim her body, so she was buried in an unmarked grave for years because she was forgotten. That case was not solved until a year later when one of the killers had a case of consciousness and decided to confess. Again, if you want to know what school she went to, what color her hair was, what she liked to eat, you're not going to get it in the book because that's not the story. The story is about the cruelty done to Pauline Mettler. But it is well worth the read because it will make you stop and think about life and about some of the things that we tend to do without thinking about the consequences. A Voice from the Grave. A Voice from the Grave is a historical fiction set in Andersonville, which was the last Confederate prison camp built during the Civil War, towards the end of the war. And they built it at the end of the railroad line down in Anderson, Georgia. It was the worst prison camps the Confederates had because Sherman was making his march to the sea and he was blowing up the rail lines. No supplies could get south to these camps. Where it was built, the mud was solid as a rock in dry weather, and Georgia red clay is slimy and slippery in wet weather. There was no food and there was no water. 44,000 prisoners died at Andersonville. Of those 44,000 prisoners, there were three women at that prison. But they didn't know they were women. They were dressed as Union soldiers and remained as Union soldiers until they died. And when they died, they made it a habit of stripping the dead of their clothes and distributing them to the living because the dead didn't need them anymore, and they found out they were women. One of the women, they knew who she was. They identified her. The other two women are still unknown. And A Voice from the Grave, one of the, even though it's a historical fiction, I use one of the unknown women in that book. I highly recommend A Voice from the Grave because it's filled with history. All the battles are real. The prison is real. The treatment is real. Everything in history-wise is real in that book. I recommend that book for history class because it is very, very historically correct. The Mad Hatter, one of my favorite books that I wrote. It's England in 1888. We all know what happened in England in 1888. And while the Ripper makes an appearance in the book, the story is not about the Ripper. The story is about a gentleman who owns a hat factory in East England, East London, in the East End. And the reason that hatters were called mad is because they used mercury to tan the hides and make them palatable and to get all the hair off of them and clean them up. And the mercury would literally drive the hatters mad. They would have hallucinations. They would have nosebleeds. They would literally go mad because of the mercury. So hence the term mad as a hatter. that book also was filled with history. That book took me 4 years to write because I got books on how houses looked, on furniture, on clothing, on how people behaved, on what they ate, in order to make this book real. I even ordered maps from England for the East End in 1888. That was a fun book to do. Also did When Fates Collide. I co-wrote that book with my friend Andrea Dean Van Scoyett. There's three in the trilogy. The first one is just called When Fates Collide. And it is about a bounty hunter who is looking for her jumper, and the person that she takes to the floor is not her jumper. She is a mousy little secretary named Hope Harrington. And Hope gets so pissed off because she's been mistaken for a very bad person that she joins forces with Alex Morgan. And they go on these hunts. The second in the series is Mardi Gras Bound, and it is literally fall down funny. There are some characters in that book that make you wonder if Andrea and I have totally lost our minds. You won't need to eat or drink while you're reading these books because the dialogue, the storyline, the back and forth is just unreal. The third in the series is Arm Candy. And in that book, I bring some characters from my book, The Pink Canary, which is set in Key West, Florida. And it is about a drag queen who is a private detective during the day, but a drag queen at night who owns the club, The Pink Canary. And one of the characters in that book, Miss Penelope, is one of my best friends. His name is Peter Fondura. And Penelope is so funny that when I was writing the book, I could not write the book for laughing hysterically while I was writing because Penelope is just, she is fall down funny. And what happens in The Pink Canary is a body shows up in the alley behind The Pink Canary. And my drag queen slash detective has moved from New York to Key West to start over. Well, so did the police detective that had worked with my drag queen slash private detective. He also moved to sunny Florida. And now they're up to their neck in another murder, and it's outside The Pink Canary. And Penelope and the other cast of characters get involved in this story. All goes back to New York. So my suggestion would be to read The Pink Canary and then read Mardi Gras Bound, Arm Candy, because you will be laughing yourself silly at night. I also have an inspirational called Pennies from Heaven. And Pennies from Heaven is an anthology of stories that I put together with some friends of mine who shared their grief. It's not a book about how to grieve. It's not a book about when to grieve. It's just their stories of how they dealt with the death of a loved one. Because there is no set standard for grief and loss. It just is. But hopefully anyone that reads this book will find something to help them heal, will find something in one of the stories, and they can say, yes, I feel this way, and I see how so-and-so came through it, and I think I can get there. So you want to pick that one up. I also have a little short story on Amazon. It's 99 cents, and it's called Blood Alley. And if you've ever driven down a two-lane blacktop at night, you'll want to read this little book because it will keep you up at night. I did a little book called Do You Dare? And Do You Dare is a collection of all of my short stories that I have put in other books and done other anthologies. But this book of Do You Dare is just mine. It's nothing but short stories. Blood Alley is also in that one, as well as other short stories I've written. Then I got together with some friends of mine, and we put together three anthologies. One of them is Satan's Holiday. One of them is Welcome to Your Nightmare. And one of them is A Merry Scary Christmas. My friend Nicholas Grabowski has a story in Satan's Holiday and Welcome to Your Nightmare. Originally, it was going to be one anthology, but there were so many authors that wanted to contribute to the book that we split it up into two books. They're creepy, they're crawly, and they're ooky, and they're scary, and they're a lot of fun. So when you read these different stories, you get a feel for the personalities of the different people. So go pick them up. Some of them are in audio. Voice from the Grave is on audio. Pennies from Heaven is on audio. No, Dreamcatcher is on audio. A Voice from the Grave is on audio. And The Pink Canary is on audio. When Fates Collide and When Fates Collide, Mardi Gras Bound are on audio. So there's no reason not to go get these books and read them. This production company that I am working with, this is the fourth time that this book has been involved in a television show. The first time was in France. The second time was the ID Channel. Most Evil, Sexual Deviance, I think it was the third or fifth season. The next time was Sky TV out of the UK. They came over here and found me. And that show is called Killer Cops. That show is shown in Australia and the UK, and now Sirens Productions. And that show will be soon on Investigation Discovery. So there you have it about me. The clothing line is under Yvonne Sewell on Vita.com, under Yvonne Mason on ViewBug. My photos are for sale. I am working on three new books. It's a trilogy, and it is set in England and in Scotland, so that should be interesting. And I think that about does it. I'm going to close this show because I've probably given y'all a bunch of overload. But before I do, I want to play something for you. I'm going to give you a taste of the guys that will be on. Well, they won't be on, but we will be playing their music and talking about them on Monday night. My guys out of Australia, if I can find their music, because they are absolutely amazing. I hope I have it on here. We will see. We'll play a commercial while I'm looking for it.
Dr. Megan McAllister was already pretty unusual when she encountered the man in the black suit that night. What Division 1 Agent Echo didn't know was that she was even more special. But he'd find out, soon enough. Stephanie Osborne uses the urban legend of operatives who show at UFO sightings and make things disappear to craft her vision of the universe we don't know. The Division 1 series chronicles this via recruit Omega and experienced partner Echo as they handle everything from lost children to alien assassination and more. Book 1, Alpha and Omega, is available in print and ebook from your favorite bookseller.
Every author has a one story that hits close to home for them. This is Yvonne Mason's.
This book is very personal to me.
The 50s has been idealized as a time of prosperity and growth for some. Those with mental and physical challenges often faced scorn and ridicule, and were destined to be left in so-called hospitals to wither and die. Dreamcatcher, Failure Was Never an Option, is the uplifting story of a man named Stan and his family's courage to defy the odds and succeed in an era where no merit was seen in the challenged.
It is the true story of my brother who was mentally and physically challenged It is because of my brother Stan that I am a successful author.
Dreamcatcher, Failure Was Never an Option, is available through Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com now.
Horror enthusiasts and fans of things that go bump in the night, rejoice, as there is a new collection of creepy tales to keep your spine tingling and your blood running cold. The brainchild of prolific author Yvonne Mason. Welcome to Your Nightmare as an anthology of stories from a gifted batch of writers specializing in keeping you up at night. Whether you love gruesome tales of murder and mayhem, or you prefer quaint tales of scary happenings, welcome to Your Nightmare is sure to please the inner psychopath and whet even the most insatiable horror appetite. Welcome to Your Nightmare is available now on Amazon.com.
Yeah, I had a pretty baby, man, her love was sweet. She making me crazy, baby, most every time we meet. But you're just no good to me, woman, and I love her just the same. Yeah, she's just no good to me, woman, and it's a hard enough feeling. Yeah, it's a hard enough feeling that your love is not the same. I know you're sharp, baby, you're sharp as a knife. I have one piece of your loving, but can you cut me off almost nice? You're still running,
running,
yeah, you're running,
running,
you just keep running.
Love.
That was the Teskey Brothers, ladies and gentlemen. And if you haven't heard them, look them up on Facebook. I think they're also on CD Baby. I know they're on YouTube. And I will be playing more of their music and talking about them on Monday night with my friend Chris Plain. And it just dawned on me while they were playing, I have a way to interview them. It won't be on this show, but it will be a live audio video on Facebook under Be Live. So be watching for that. I'm going to see if I can't get them back. I close my show with a couple of things, and one of them is when you're laying on your deathbed and you have people standing around you and they go, Susie Q, have you got any regrets? Don't be that person. Because we were all dreamers. The entire world is made up of dreamers. Civilizations are created because of dreamers. New places are found because of dreamers. We went to the moon because of dreamers. We have technology because of dreamers. We have music and books and art because of dreamers. Don't be that person. Because you don't know what you can accomplish if you just set your mind to it. Don't be that person that says, I shoulda, woulda, coulda. Don't cheat yourself. And don't let anyone steal your dream. It's your dream. They can't steal it without your permission. Don't give them that permission. Luckily, it wasn't too late for me. Sure, I started late. I started in my 50s, but that's okay. I've done more in the past 11, 12 years than most people do in a lifetime. This radio show is a dream come true. Being on television is a dream come true. My design line on clothing, that fell in my lap. My photography is a dream come true. Being a bounty hunter is a dream come true. Having a degree in criminal justice is a dream come true. So don't be that person. And don't be that person that allows other people to say, you can't. You're not good enough. Because you are. You are enough. So with that, I'm going to close the show with a song by Buddy Jewell, and it's one of my all-time favorite songs, and it's called I Just Want to Thank Everyone. Listen to this song, and we will see you again on Monday night.
Excuse me. Yes, sir, I understand, but do you actually have the word yes in your vocabulary?
Yes, it started when I was a kid. If you said I couldn't do it, I did. Always had a stubborn streak. Put a wall in front of me, and I'll find a way to get around it. There was a friend who said I'd never make the team. A lot of small town talk that said I'd never leave. Oh, and you know who you are. You all play the part in pushing me on to my dream. I want to thank everyone who ever told me no. Pack it up and get back home. It kept me going, knowing I would prove them wrong. Yeah, I knew it all along. Without them, I'd have given up bed long. Behind the desk, he said, sorry, what you got? I just don't get. Oh, but here I am today, standing on this stage, and I wonder even now if he gets it. Yeah, I wanna thank everyone who ever told me no. Pack it up and get back home. It kept me going, knowing I would prove them wrong. Yeah, I knew it all along. Without a mind, it's given a bit long time ago. And so, I want to thank everyone who ever told me no.
to thank everyone who ever told me no. Pack it up and get back home, boy. It kept me going, knowing I would prove them wrong. Yeah, I knew it all along. Without a mind, I'd given up a long time ago. And so I wanna thank everyone who ever told me no. Yeah, I wanna thank everyone who ever told me no.
We'll get back to you on that, son. Just keep trying. You know, I'm not sure that you actually look like a star.